Hey everybody, welcome back to Up the Vibe. And today I have the pleasure of talking to Jim Garrison, who is the director of the New Paradigm Institute in the Washington office and the president of the Ubiquity University. Hi Jim, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
It's great to have you on. We've had a few attempts at this, but finally we've managed to find time to meet. And it's I really appreciate the time you'll be giving here because I know how busy you are over in DC. So without further ado, can you tell me a bit about well, just basically introduce yourself, tell me a bit about your experiences, how you got into the UFO topic?
Well, I've been interested in the UFO phenomenon for an exceedingly long time. I always took for granted, even as a young boy and into adulthood, that the cosmos being as vast as it is, it's not conceivable that we're the only life form in the vastness of trillions of galaxies. So, for me, the UFO phenomenon wasn't speculation. I knew intuitively it was correct. And I had a wonderful experience with my good friend and colleague, Danny Sheehan, who's the president of New Paradigm Institute, actually, and with whom I had the pleasure of knowing for over 50 years since our Harvard days back in the 70s. And then in the 1976, we worked with the Jesuit Conference Office of Social Ministries in Washington, D.C. He as general counsel, me as director of nuclear policy. And it was during that time that we heard that Project Blue Book had released to the National Archives of the Library of Congress declassified microfilms of some of the photos of evidence around UFOs, now, of course, called Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, UAP. So we scurried there, and it was a very exciting moment. And looking at this little bits of microfilm against the light so that you could see it, and it was very exciting. And we worked actually to get the Washington Interreligious Staff Council at the time that we'd helped to formulate to take on the UFO issue, but it was premature. And so Danny then had a number of experiences in the late 70s and all the way to the present day. I had a UFO encounter when I was in the Republic of Georgia, taking an American delegation shortly after the Republic had become independent in 1992. And while we were in Tbilisi, we saw what all of us, a group of us of four or five, consenting adults walking along the side of a hill. We all saw these three orbs in the distance doing things that no aircraft could do. And we realized that we were seeing a UFO. And that was very exciting that we had got to see a UFO. And then I went off and did various things. Then last August, in August of 2023, Danny Sheehan called me up and said that they were establishing the New Paradigm Institute in Washington, D.C., and whether I would go back and serve as director of the Washington office. I was at that point in my life where I just transitioned out of a responsibility as chief executive of Ubiquity University. So I was just poking my head up, seeing what I was going to do. And Danny swept in, as Danny has a way of doing. And the rest, as they say, is history. So here I is.
Wow, I mean it's really is quite amazing all the things you've experienced over the years, all the different roles. But with this New Paradigm Institute that you've mentioned with Danny Sheehan, what are the main goals of that? Why was it set up? What its kind of core principal purpose?
I would say that the meta mission of the New Paradigm Institute is to catalyze a change of consciousness in humanity, a new paradigm, as John Mack called it. And in fact, it's worth just mentioning that the name New Paradigm Institute comes out of the work that Danny did with John Mack in the 1990s, after John Mack, who was the chief of psychiatry at the medical school at Harvard University, started to talk to people who had in reported abduction experiences and various other experiences or phenomena. And he concluded that not only were they perfectly sane, and that what they were saying needed to be taken seriously, but that his conclusion that was codified in his best-selling book, Abduction, and then a second book before he died prematurely, called A Passport to the Passport to the Cosmos, basically said the only way to truly understand the UFO phenomenon is with a new paradigm. So that's the overriding mission of the New Paradigm Institute. And we've, in fact, called ourselves what our mission is. And I think within that context, from a strategic level, we are focused on building a global coalition, a global movement of activists that are committed to disclosure and committed to developing this new paradigm. And then within that umbrella, we have a major project here in Washington, D.C., which I participate in day in and day out, to talk to the Congress, to talk to the Senate, now that Trump has become president, to begin a strategy for the executive branch so that Trump could potentially become the disclosure president. So we have a lot of work politically here in Washington. We have a training program as part of a partnership with Ubiquity University, leading to master's and PhD degrees in extraterrestrial studies, a very, very exciting certificate program. We have Citizens for Disclosure, a grassroots mobilization, the first ever in the kind of the history of the UFO movement, where an organization set forth the goal of getting CFD, Citizen for Disclosure groups, in all 50 states, which we've accomplished. We're now in 33 countries. We want to have Citizens for Disclosure groups in all 435 congressional districts by the end of 2025, so we can make UAP disclosure a political issue, an electoral issue, obviously in a nonpartisan, transpartisan way. We have what we call a disclosure diplomacy network of groups around the world working to pressure their governments on disclosure. We have experiencer circles. All kinds of people are coming out, you know, as experiencers, sort of like, you know, being gay 20 years ago. They're coming out of the closet, yeah, feeling it's finally safe. We have a major, major lawyers group that Danny oversees, 20 plus lawyers that are working on whistleblower legislation and a new racketeering case and various other legal matters. And then we have a major religions project. How do we get the world religions institutionally to understand that the central challenge of this time is to take in the reality that was codified in law in December of 2023 by the US government, basically stating that technologies of unknown origin, non-human technologies, non-human intelligences exist, and we need to begin to disseminate that information gathered from government agencies and contracting organizations to the global public. The central fact of our time is that we are not alone, that extraterrestrial intelligences are here, they exist, they've been in communication, and we need to take this seriously because this is the moment where humanity needs to be developing the new paradigm. extraordinary, the synchronicities of history and fate and science that are coming together in our day.
Yeah, I mean, that's a separate topic. I mean, there does seem to be a nice story being told along as it all unfolds. And yeah, things do seem to materialize or come to bear just when they need to. It's quite a beautiful thing if you step outside and see it from above, but when you're deep in the thick in it, it's can be quite difficult. So
yeah.
You mentioned the Citizens for Disclosure group, CFD, and I mean that seems to be growing quite well. What's the members of that? What do they do? What's their primary role, and how can people join that?
Well, we can put the New Paradigm Institute.org in your
yeah, I will do yeah
podcast, in the notes and so forth. But anybody who's interested in the Citizens for Disclosure, please go to newparadigminstitute.org, and right there on the front page, homepage, there's a way you can click and volunteer. And basically what we've done, I mean, if you look at it from a historical point of view, the first organizations that were developed were basically scientific and investigatory. Think of MUFON, for example, the Mutual UFO Network. Think of SCU, the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies. Think of ICER, the International Coalition for Extraterrestrial Research. These are all organizations principally of scientists, analysts, people that are looking for whatever the hard facts are. But in the view of the New Paradigm Institute, the cat is now out of the bag. As Carl Nell said in May at a financial conference in New York, there's now zero doubt. Non-human intelligence is here. We have evidence. We have retrieved craft. We have retrieved alien bodies. As Lou Elizondo said in congressional testimony to the House Oversight Committee on November 13th. So we need to get on with the reality that we don't need to prove UFOs. And this is a comment, by the way, that Michio Kaku has made, I think, in a very compelling way.
Yeah.
He said, until last year, it was the onus was on the UFO movement to prove that UFOs exist. Now there's evidence. Now the people who say they don't exist have to prove that they don't exist. That's the sea change. So if that's the case, it's time to move beyond simple analysis to prove something we already know. To how do you animate the public? How do you create Citizens for Disclosure group in all over the United States and around the world that'll start to educate themselves? That's why we have training programs. We have a certificate program that we're just concluding. We've had 8 courses this year on the history, law, politics, and technology of UAP. Starting next year, we have a certificate of, again, another 8 courses on extraterrestrial awareness and communication, where we're going to be teaching people through remote viewing and mental telepathy exercises to increase these faculties with the intent of engaging in intelligible communication with the extraterrestrials. If they're here, and they are, the people of the world, in our view, need to understand the realities and begin the process of direct intelligible communication. We're entering our cosmic moment. We are now embarking on the most important milestone since we became a species. We're now expanding our psyche. That's why we need a new paradigm to cosmic levels. And so the human race needs to learn what I call the mother tongue. We don't need to learn Chinese and German and Russian and Spanish like we do at school. Just imagine if in school we were learning how to communicate with other species. We were learning cross-species communication. We were learning how to speak with the ETs. That's the language we need to learn. So New Paradigm Institute is doing that, and that's what we make available to all our citizens for disclosure. And then we are a big tent. You come into Citizens Disclosure, we don't mind what you believe about them. You can believe that they're little green men. You can believe that they're from another dimension. You can believe that they're crypto terrestrials and they've been here all along. Whatever it is, we honor all points of view, but we're singularly focused on one thing. How do we educate the public? And how do we increase pressure on our governments to disclose the information that the public has the right to know? As Carl Nell says, the government has the right to tell you which side of the road to drive your car. The government has the right to tell you you got to pay taxes. The government does not have the right to tell you what reality is. And for the government to be covering up the reality of UAP is a violation of every norm about how humans need to be in the world. You know, it's just like saying if the government doesn't want us to know about nuclear weapons, they make any kind of research into nuclear physics illegal. Government doesn't have the right to do it. The government does have the right to tell you you can't do nuclear weapons. The government does not have the right to tell you you can't study nuclear physics. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. And so that's one thing that we do. And we worked really hard in the election, the presidential election just passed, to get all the groups writing letters to the editors, writing to their congressional representatives, their senators, their governors, going to the debates, the town halls where the candidates were debating, and making UAP disclosure an election issue. And it worked. Both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump were asked about their position on UAP disclosure. Lots of congressional candidates and senatorial candidates all came out and made their, because the people were demanding it. In fact, we talked to one congressional rep who said that was the most frequently asked question that he received in the campaign. And he was
Donald Trump did.
Surprised. So, you know,
did Donald Trump say that?
No, not Donald Trump. This was a congressional representative.
I think Donald Trump did say in an interview, I think it was the Joe Rogan one, he did say how often he is asked that as well. So, yeah.
Thank you for bringing it up. Trump did indicate that he's asked that a lot. And he said, yeah, we should do it. And the reason why he's coming out on Joe Rogan is because he's asked about it a lot. And this is now becoming an issue. So wherever you are, if you want to get involved in the grassroots to learn what's going on, because the facts are emerging and you want to become part of the most important movement, I think, in our time, the movement for disclosure, you should join the Citizens for Disclosure. We're in 33 countries around the world and growing. We're completely nonpartisan. We don't take any political positions about candidates. We just say every candidate needs to address UAP disclosure, and we're working toward that in a celebratory way, in a joyful way, so that we're learning, we're sharing, we're building community, and most interestingly, we're all learning how to speak ET.
Yeah, we'll come on to the sort of communication aspect. But in terms of the course material, who is it for in terms of people that, say, for example, if someone's listening right now and they've been, you know, studying the UFO phenomenon for years and they feel quite adept at talking about many, many subjects, will they find the material right for them, or is there
If they're a specialist, I'd like to hear from them. Maybe they can become a faculty. We started out with Danny Sheehan, who did two courses, and then Richard Dolan, you know, the great UFO historian, UFOs in the National Security State, and he's just coming out with a three-volume USOs, undisclosed, unidentified submerged objects, UFOs under the water. We had a course with Don Schmidt on Roswell. Donald Schmidt is who's a member of the North American representative of Roswell. He worked with James Hynek in the 80s and 90s, and the great astronomer, and was one of the lead investigators in the Roswell case, which is probably the classic case of the UFO, modern phase of UFO history, the crash landing in July of 1947 in New Mexico near Roswell. We were having a course right now on Rendlesham with Gary Hazeltine, who's a investigative police detective.
I did try to get him on the podcast years ago, actually, because I managed to speak to Jim Peniston.
And he's telling the story of Rendlesham. So again, this is what it means. You get grounded in the history, law, politics, and technology. And we'll keep rolling out courses. So as people do the certificates, they can pick and choose which eight they want. And then they do the second certificate on ET awareness and communication. And then they roll that in and do a master's or PhD degree at Ubiquity University. These are the first PhDs anywhere on extraterrestrial matters. It's really very, very exciting.
So yeah, it is exciting. How do people fit it into their busy schedules? How is the material given, presented, and then assessed?
Well, it's like any certificate program. You have to take the courses, and when you finish the certificate, you have to write a post paper. And I would say that there's a couple other programs. Sean Hesburn Hargan, for example, if you know him, brilliant guy, deeply immersed. He has a program on UAP studies as part of a larger doctorate in integral philosophy and noetics. And that's a very good program. There are some universities that are developing single courses on UAP studies, which is wonderful to see. But Ubiquity University is the first and so far only university that has developed an explicit master's and PhD program in extraterrestrial studies. We wanted to just say it like it actually is. And that's what we're doing. And we have a wonderful group of, I think, 20 to 30 graduate students now that have come together, and they meet once a month. It's a wonderful thing. It's really, really extraordinary what's going on. And so that's part of what the Citizens for Disclosure have the opportunity to do. You can take the training programs independent of whether you want to join Citizens for Disclosure. But if you want to become active in your local area, start getting to know other people in your area, you might consider Citizens for Disclosure.
And what kind of opportunities might come their way as they start to get these certificates and maybe even get to the master's level?
Well, this is one of probably going to be the fastest growing sector in human culture within a few years as people take in, Joe, that we are not alone, and that we're entering our cosmic moment.
It's huge.
It's gonna be
huge. Yeah, it might be bigger than the transition.
And you
AI
know,
we need
more faculty. So if someone's got a PhD in ET studies, man, they can start teaching. They can start informing people in a real credible way. Just like, you know, if you're get a PhD in astrophysics or biology or theology, you know, you've taken the time to really study the matter, and that's why you're awarded the accolade.
Well, I did a master's in physics and astronomy, but I feel like half of it might have to be thrown out when I've done all this.
Yeah.
So in terms of the course material, if there's, say, three or four courses that you want to take, do the courses, do the material, but then there's maybe one or two that you actually feel quite knowledgeable in. Is it possible to do the assessment part and get the certificate if you feel quite knowledgeable in those from the outset? For example, some people might be
Anybody that
quite.
wants to, we'll custom design it. There's a couple people that, when I talked to them, it was clear to me they didn't need the either of the certificates. So they just came in and they're now writing their doctoral dissertations.
I mean, I'd be interested to hear more about that. There's some areas that I'd really want to sort of dive deeper into, and that leads on to the communication. So for me, I mean, I've been interested in that aspect. I've been trying to do the Gateway program from the Monroe Institute and working towards that. Is that where is that the kind of the focus of it, the ESP, the kind of Russell Targ side of things, in terms of that part of the course? Or is it actually something quite different in terms of actual, I don't know, communication styles? I don't know.
No, it's very, very similar. We're having our inaugural course is next January with Bertie Jaworski. She's one of the leading remote viewers in the world. She became famous because she was the one that saw the attack on the World Trade Towers 2 years before it happened. Drew a picture of the trade towers and airplanes coming into the trade towers. She saw it, and then. We're doing a 5-day intensive. I mean, it's going to be online, but it's going to be 8 hours a day for 5 days, really to immerse. I'm going to take the course. I'm taking the week off. I just I think
That's the
it's
one in January, isn't it? Is it January?
January 15th to
That's right.
19th. And the New Paradigm Institute.org website, or go to Ubiquity University. Dot org, and you can sign up for the course. They're very, very inexpensive courses. In this case, it's we count it as two courses of the certificate because we charge $200 per course. So this is $400. But I don't know of anybody in the world that can do a 5-day intensive course for $400 as part of a certificate. But the whole point, and we partnered with the Monroe Institute and the Institute of Noetic Sciences as academic partners for the certificate program. We're going to have people from Noetics and Monroe and other organizations who are deeply immersed in remote viewing and mental telepathy and clairvoyance. But this is the mother tongue. Again, this is what the human race needs to all learn as a matter of some urgency so that we can rise to the opportunity that the ET moment is casting upon us, and that is human transformation. So we're going to have eight separate courses, two with Bertie Jaworski on remote viewing and ET communication, then another six courses over 2025 that will be on various aspects of remote viewing, mental telepathy, clairvoyant, all with a focus through meditation, for example, of what we need to know and learn to effectively communicate these
It'd be
beings.
interesting how you assess that if you do actually do a kind of remote viewing session in the form of assessment, or is it more material, as in this is the sort of directional, this is what I have to, the steps I have to do, and these are things I have to notice. I mean, I don't know if you've got any
Oh,
insight
no,
into what
absolutely. It's all hands-on.
it's all hands on. Yeah, so
That's the whole point.
yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that develops. I tried to start a remote viewing group this year, and I with some friends. And we did have some success in our conscious. We were able to sort of see the same thing. Wasn't necessarily the target, but we were all seeing similar things in a weird way. It was like our consciousness had been synced to a certain degree. So I feel like there were steps taken in a short period of time of trying it. So I think it's something that could be developed quite quickly if people get on board. But is there a genetic aspect to this that some people might find it really hard, that There's some theories that people,
Everybody has the faculty.
yeah, but not everyone can play the
Some people
piano as
have
a
the
prodigy, yeah,
proclivity.
basically, you know,
Yeah,
yeah.
some people are naturally gifted athletes. Some are naturally gifted musicians. Some are
Yeah.
naturally gifted cooks. Some are naturally gifted intellectuals.
Yeah.
And some are naturally gifted with clairvoyance. But everybody has the gift. Everybody can cook. Everybody has an intellect. And some are just more refined than others. It's a faculty that all of us now need to learn.
Yeah, I think it's something that we'll progress towards, but for some people it might take some time, so we'll
Sorry.
get there. Yeah. Just moving on from that and to what has been November was quite an amazing month with all the hearings. We had the hearings with Admiral Gallaudet, Lou Elizondo, Michael Schellenberger, Michael Gold. And then we had
I
following
was
that,
there.
yeah. I imagine you were, and also I don't think you were at the Arrow hearing, were you, with Susan Goff and is it Kozlowski? I can't remember. Yeah,
Kozlowski, yeah.
Kozlowski. Yep. So I wanted to get your takeaway from those two hearings. What you thought they delivered from a positive and a negative side.
Good question. Let me start with the House hearing because it was the first on November 13th. I think my observation, which was corroborated by most people there, is that the hearing was good, but it didn't really move the needle sufficiently forward. What was important is that Lou Elizondo stated again, what David Grush stated in July of 2023 at the same hearing of the same committee of the House, and that is that UAP exists. The United States government is in possession of retrieved alien craft. The U.S. government is in possession of retrieved alien biologics, as they're called, and the US government is engaged in a cover-up. That's the cornerstone of the disclosure reality. Because if that's true, or should we say, since that's true, since there's now zero doubt about the fact that that's true, what's next? I think the deficiency of it is that you could tell that the congressional representatives were bound by their office and they're constrained by the limitations of the congressional capacity to really think out of the box and really push the boundaries of the national security state.
Well, I think Senator Luna was probably one of the better ones there and really felt that she was
Yeah,
pushing, but she
congressional,
only
that
got,
she wasn't a senator, the congressional
sorry, yeah,
representative
but
Luna.
she
She's
gave only 5 minutes of content, unfortunately. We could have had more,
yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
yeah.
She pushed it the most, but some of the others. But I think on balance, what needs to happen next are two things. One, we need a congressional hearing which moves beyond what David Grush did, what Lou did, what Schellenberger, Gold, etc., Gallagher, Gallaudet, to people who actually have primary experience of alien craft. Alien bodies. We need someone to
I think
put up
that, yeah. I mean, it was
and
great to have
say,
Lou on board, but I think that was the frustration that we didn't have that
that's right.
person. Yeah.
That's right. We need someone who can say, I was there. I touched the aircraft. I saw four bodies and was given a readout from the local physician as to their genetic composition and so forth and so on, and I can testify that they exist. That's something that we've been pressuring the Congress to do, but they're resistant to do it because I think none of them have the courage, the moral and intellectual courage to actually bite the bullet. So they felt that what they could do is reiterate what David Grush did last year. Now, the Senate one, I think, was a total nothing burger. I think it was a total wash and a waste of time. And the reason is that Senator Gillibrand, who'd really been sponsoring, was one of the prime movers for establishing the Arrow office, is so committed to the success of Arrow, she's not willing and intellectually courageous enough to realize that what she initiated does not have a life of its own. It was clear that Susan Goff was breathing down the neck of poor little Kozlowski, and he was like a little, lap dog trying to say the right things in the face of, the powers that be in the Pentagon that have told him, admit nothing, say nothing, reveal nothing. And so he was just going through his paces, and Senator Gillibrand was part of that charade. So I think that was a disappointment, and it's our hope that perhaps another senator, or maybe Senator Gillibrand, if she can kind of get over just wanting to be supportive of her own creation, which is purely political posturing, and really convene a hearing that will take the discussion the next step. It needs to now build on the UAP Records Collection Act. It needs to build on David Grush's testimony. It needs to build on what Lou Elizondo said, what Carl Nell said, and others have said. That's what the Congress needs to do. And that's where having Donald Trump, and you can imagine, I'm not a supporter of Trump by any measure, but in one of the strangest twists of fate, Donald Trump could become the disclosure president. And so we have to now work with him. And this, I raise this because this is an exercise in nonpartisanship. It reminds me of what Voltaire said. He says, I disagree completely with what you're saying, and I will defend to the death your right to say it.
Yeah, I think that's very important. I think
And
I
that's
felt
true of
that.
Trump. Many of the people that I personally work with are all Trump supporters. That doesn't matter because we're working on a
Well,
superordinate issue.
I mean, maybe we'll jump onto the Trump topic now. I was going to bring on that later, but from my perspective, I mean, I started in 2016, like a lot of people, not liking Trump, but I've switched in my own views myself. But without going too partisan, I think it's just great to hear that there is trying to eliminate that from try and remove that partisanship, that kind of
Have
divide,
to.
because that is stuttering any form of progress, really. It gets in the way. We
This
united.
is a human issue. It's not a partisan issue. It's not a Democrat, a Republican, Labor, Tory, Christian Democrat, Social Democrat. This is a human issue that everybody, for essentially the same reasons, wherever you are, globally, needs to take into account.
And looking at the picks that are coming through for the Trump administration, a lot of those, it does seem, have said in the past to a degree that they are pro bringing the UFO disclosure, which is very promising. It seems that whether it's by a coincidence or quite deliberate, there is a push for the powers that be, should the administration come in finally in January, there is a push for them to have the direct power to, you know, get the answers from. I imagine I mean, we talk about the government hiding it, but I think there's a government from above the government, if you know what I mean. There's power above those who are elected, and it's those that you need to pry the answers out of. And
Absolutely.
I think it's great to
Absolutely.
having it partisan right now in the Biden administration, but there seems to be sort of a bit of both from either side, and it's the kind of there isn't really that kind of majority push from the administration. I think the Trump side could switch that. So I'm really excited to see, you know, what happens in 2025 onwards, because I think, I mean, I think the Trump administration is going to be quite radical in many ways, but this is something that is going to be part of that.
Yeah, exactly.
We were talking earlier about the failed Aero hearing, and well, it was a bit of a nothing burger, as you said. But from my perspective, and having watched Aero or its previous incarnation, Oymsog, it was the that horrible name. When I watched it through, and I've always had the suspicion it might be the next Project Blue Book in a sense, but if you actually listen to some of the remarks made by Senator Gillibrand and others, I think Marco Rubio was one, about what its purpose was, and it all came out of what, you know, when Ryan Graves said that pilots were seeing anonymous vehicles in the sky, and it was a danger to flight safety. I think it was born out of that, not the discovery of new life. It was or ET. It was all about trying to make the sky safer for the US Navy. And so it kind of, as much as it's frustrating to us, it kind of makes sense somehow. The story has been we're just trying to pick up what's going on in the skies, and there hasn't been this focus on ET. Every so often they say we've had no evidence of ET, and they put that in there, but everything's all about, you know, what is in the sky. So what I would like to see moving forward, it'd be nice to see if Aero come back and say what they think of all this drone activity that's happening now. I'm sure you're aware of all the I mean, it's on X, certainly. I don't know how well it's reported outside of X, or Twitter, as it used to be called. But I think everyone is aware that there's a lot going on in the world right now, especially in the UK and the US.
Well, let me comment. I'd like to comment on this if I could, because I think this is a perfect example of misinformation and manipulation of the media. You have this outbreak of UAP sightings over East Anglia in Great Britain, over the Eastern Seaboard in the United States, in Europe, India, Latin America. All of a sudden, all these drones, so-called, are appearing with particular dramatic attention being placed on what's happening over England. And what gets seeded into the media? Oh, the Russians or they're Chinese. There's no way they're Russian or Chinese because the qualities that they're demonstrating are simply beyond modern physics. If there were a drone and an F-16 comes up, there's no way that a drone's going to get away from an F-16. But these UAP do. They're not Chinese or Russian drones. Anybody that tells you that is not accurate.
But to counter that, would you say that yes, when we talk about the Go Fast, the gimbal, these and the reports of these previous UFO events, you say that from the five observables, they do show a degree of breaking what we consider to be capable physics from our own. What we've developed, or we think we've developed, you know, whether it's US, Russia, China. But when we look at all these drone videos and you see snapshots, some of them, yes, they do seem to exhibit these behaviors, but others are quite easily debunked, although we don't know for sure. But we don't see much of a clip. There's a potential. Is there a potential right now? There's a mix of both actual UAPs and then potentially some drone activity. Is there a potential mix right now, or is it all NHI? Are they all the ET showing their presence, dipping their toe in the water of becoming more elaborate? Or could it be drone activity from Russia that's, for some of them at least?
I don't believe it.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. You may remember last year in the United States, they spotted a Chinese air balloon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in February, was it? Yeah.
And the U.S. Congress, the military, the White House, everybody went crazy. And finally, they shot it down. If a Russian drone or a Chinese drone came over Washington, D.C. and over the White House, you don't think the U.S. military would know that?
Yeah.
That's one thing. Another thing that is very important to bear in mind, one of the things, you know, we have this rather primitive Steven Spielberg notion of ETs and UFOs, right? That they come from star system, Alpha Centauri or the Sirius or Orion's belt or something like that. And they fly in craft to planet Earth and they get out and they're, you know, they're small grays but what is emerging about this phenomenon that may take place, but probably more commonly, the UAP are emerging out of other dimensions, and they have a capacity to shape shift into whatever shape they want to shape shift into. So we could be seeing drones out there. They look like drones because the human mind right now is all about drones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether they're Chinese or Russian, I think is there's virtually a 0% probability that that is the case. If one of them out of the thousands that are showing up turns out to be a Russian drone, I guarantee you it would be identified immediately and probably shot down. And the fact that they can't shoot any of these down, or they say they, someone reported that they thought that one was shot down, but there's been no evidence of this. You have a classic UFO phenomenon where something doesn't fit into the pattern of what we know according to current physics. It seems to be able to evade. It seems to be able to engage in immediate, you know, that was the UFO that I saw back in 1992, was these three orbs in the sky. And they went up, down, sideways like that. And I thought, wait a minute, that can't be an airplane because airplanes can't do that. You know, airplanes just fly across the sky. And if they're going to turn around, they have a wide arc and it's all, you know, it makes sense in your mind. You have three orbs going up, down like this, and then disappearing. You go, wait a minute, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fit into any known category of at least contemporary physics. Mm-hmm. So you call it an unidentified flying object, of course, to give it some name. But the other thing I would say, because I think it's important for people to understand the news and how our news is being manipulated. Now that the cat's out of the bag, and this is really important, folks. For 80 years, the legacy group, military industrial complex, the deep state, whatever it is that you want to call it, spent all its time repressing the information with a campaign that the CIA started in 1953, mm-hmm. after the Robertson panel, where it stated we were going to, the US government felt it was a priority to eliminate the UFO phenomenon from the public mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what they did. And they did it so successfully that even if you talked about it, you were considered crazy. And that's how John Mack got brought in to the whole phenomenon. The Defense Department called Harvard and said, listen, we've got these people telling us that they have experienced UFOs or been abducted, and we think they're crazy, and we want you to do your analysis so you can show us that how crazy they are. And that was the state of play. Now the situation is completely different. Mm-hmm. The cat's out of the bag.
Yeah,
there's zero doubt. Evidence is there about retrieved craft, retrieved bodies. That's what's true.
I mean, so, we say evidence, but it's still third hand. I haven't seen one yet. So are we able to say evidence yet for third?
Yeah. There's photographs. But we can circle back to evidence. But the overriding point I want to make around the drones is we have to understand, everybody, that the government agencies that spent 80 years repressing us the information, telling us it wasn't true, are now shifting to how do they control the narrative. So this is what Kozlowski said. Oh yeah, UAP exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, UAP, we don't know what they are, and they're not non-human and all of that, but they're admitting. Even the Kozlowskis of the world and the Arrows of the world are admitting that they exist, and they're controlling the narrative because they want to control what people think about these phenomena in the frame of the national security state. They want us to be afraid. They want us to think, oh, these are the Russians. These are the Chinese. We need to weaponize. We need to get our nuclear weapons all ready because they're about ready to attack us. Nothing can be farther from the truth. The reality is that the UFOs have been here for some time, and there's not a single shred of evidence of them taking a hostile act against humans. They may have abducted a few, but the UAP that are here, the ETs that are here, have essentially been here to warn humans, particularly about the nuclear weapons. And what I would draw, just to conclude, because I think this is so important for people to understand this phenomenon in relationship to world events. The week before all these UAP started to appear around Mildenhall and Lakenheath, where the U.S. has bases in Britain and nuclear weapons, it happened a week after Joe Biden authorized the Ukrainians and U.S. British personnel to shoot short-range conventional missiles into Russia.
Yeah.
And in response, Russia sent into Ukraine a single hypersonic medium range missile that traveled so fast, there is nothing in the US or NATO arsenal that can even track it, let alone shoot it down. And that's what Putin said. We now have a weapon that you can't even shoot down. We can deploy it anywhere.
Yeah.
And if the United States and Britain and France are going to come into Ukraine as co-combatants, because those attack of missiles and those storm shadow missiles weren't fired by the Ukrainians. The attackums were fired by US personnel with US guidance and targeting systems. The storm shadows were fired by the British military in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So what Putin said is, hey, this is no longer Russia with Ukraine, with you guys backing them up with weapons. You're now bringing your troops in and participating as co-combatants. That increases the danger of a nuclear exchange, because the two superpowers coming together in actual combat is violating every red line that has been in existence since the end of the Second World War. Mm-hmm. The Soviet Union and the United States never fought each other directly. It was only through proxies. And they never gave their proxies weapons sufficient to hit the other side. So now the Biden administration is crossing that red line. And then Putin shot over the hypersonic, which some commentators have said is radicalizing strategic warfare just as much as the atomic bomb did back in 1945, because it has the same impact and explosive capacity as an atomic bomb, but without the radiation.
Mm-hmm. So that missile wasn't armed or was armed? Do you know?
It was armed with 18 independently targeted maneuverable warheads that pulverized the Umash military factory in Dnipro in Ukraine in one missile attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of saber rattling right now.
So, and this is important. This is important.
Yeah.
Because remember Oppenheimer, the current UFO phenomenon was ignited when the United States dropped the first atomic bomb in Alamogordo, New Mexico on July 16, 1945. Robert Oppenheimer remembered and said in subsequent testimony, or not testimony, but interviews in the media, that he saw orbs in the sky. Within 30 days, there was the first UFO sighting right there at White Sands. And then you had Roswell close by in 1947. At that time, that was super secret, high level.
Yeah.
U.S. military, because that was where the nuclear weapons were. So you have this radical escalation to the most dangerous moment in nuclear history, as easily as dangerous as the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. And all of a sudden, the UFOs, the UAP start showing up over places like in England, where the U.S. were going to be sending some of these weapons that they want to deploy.
To be fair, it hadn't made that connection between the potential that they're not signaling potentially to the general population to say, look, we're here. There may be more about signaling to the intelligence agency to say, we're here, stop what you're doing. It's kind of
we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you need to stop.
Mm-hmm. I think and that kind of makes a little bit more sense in terms of in terms of the proximity of where all these have been.
And just like the government did in 1947 with Roswell, it's a weather balloon. Mm-hmm. Right? Now they're saying they're possible Russian drones. So it's a diversionary tactic. Instead of admitting what it is, they're trying to get us to fear the Russians and the Chinese and use that as a contributor to the war hysteria that they continue to foster against Russia and China to legitimate increasing the defense budgets so that they can maintain war. It's quite extraordinary how sophisticated they are and how easily we fall prey to that reality.
Yeah, talking about the media and the control they have, it does seem like to me that the drone activity, and in particular the potential ET connection, hasn't, I mean, from my perspective, hasn't really become part of the general conversation amongst amongst people.
And that's where our Citizens for Disclosure comes in, and our press, we in the movement should be understanding how we're being manipulated and countering it. And one of the things that I found disappointing is most of the people I know in the disclosure movement have bought in that these are probably Russian or Chinese. And I'm saying they aren't.
Yeah,
and we need to understand how the deep state is manipulating the media to get us to be afraid, when what we should be doing is approaching this experience with an open heart and using it as an opportunity for human transformation.
Yeah, as someone who has been involved in it to an extent with CE5, and also I know people who are involved with the Rama Protocol, I know that kind of approach of that open heart, open consciousness is essential to moving forward. Yeah. Is that something that you've got involved with in the Ubiquity University, the CE5 side of things? Is that something?
Oh, absolutely. We're spending the whole next year teaching people how to engage in conscious communication.
Is that going to be involved with Stephen Greer at all, or is it kind of
an
offshoot?
No, he's doing his own thing, and you know, he's trademarked CE5, We bless him. I think he's a very dedicated public servant in this domain, and but it's very expensive, his protocols, and we wanted to make it as essentially for free, so that people everywhere can begin to learn these techniques. This is not rocket science. I don't think this should be open source, in my view.
Yeah, and it's all coming out now. But do you see the transition from this kind of early phase of all these things coming out to the point where there's a good majority of people, just as there are right now, having good number of doctors and lawyers and architects? There's a whole bunch of people who have got various forms of qualification in ET studies. Do you see that as a future moment? And if you do, when do you think that might be? Are we talking like in the next 10 years? Or are we talking?
I think it's already started.
Yeah.
I think the cat's out of the bag. And I think most people, this is another thing they say, which I categorically disagree with. Oh, if we disclose, the people are going to go hysterical. And that's nonsense. Most of the time, when you talked about UAP, people get excited or they yawn. Most people know it's true. And it's important to bear in mind, everyone, in North America and Europe, we're the only region in the world that doesn't believe this is true. You go to the Hindu tradition, you go to the Chinese tradition, you go to Africa, you go to the indigenous people. They've been talking to star people for the whole time, for thousands of years. So when anybody says to you, well, we can't disclose because, you know, it might disrupt the public and da 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 da, da, that's nonsense. What it's going to disrupt and what they're afraid about is that they want to make sure that this disclosure does not upset the current power structure.
Yeah,
they don't want a revolution on their hands, because their people are saying, listen, you guys have been lying to us for this whole time and you want to stay in charge? Are you kidding me? So they want to make sure that it stays within their control, and they're going to try to let the people know little bit by little bit by little bit. And then they're going to, that's why I emphasize what's going on with these drones. They want to shape the disclosure so people think of it as a national security issue. That's what they were, all four of them were saying at the House hearing. That's what Kozlowski's saying. This is what the government is now doing, and that's why NPI and your podcasts have got to take these guys on. We gotta be saying this is not a national security issue unless we insist on it. And if we treat it as a national security issue, we might as well not even have disclosure, because nothing's going to change. We want to have disclosure in an open-hearted way, because if they would have wanted to take over, Joe, they would have taken over long ago.
Yeah, and I think that's the primary point, is that it won't be a threat to us until we poke the bear enough. It'll bite back. But I think ultimately they're here to protect us.
They're here to warn us against our own selves. You know, nobody's making the human race act like it is. We're in some weird delusional space, that we think we need to have nuclear weapons against one another, that we need to be committing genocide in Gaza, that we need to be escalating tensions against China. I mean, what are we doing? We got refugees all over the world. People are starving in Sudan. These are just human beings treating each other in cruel and unusually vindictive ways, and there's no reason for it. And all the ETs, if you look at the people who've had their experiences, they're all been saying, almost unanimously, this planet is one of the rarest, most biologically diverse planets in the entire cosmos. And your species is the apex species, and you're completely ruining it. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah, we are. we're certainly responsible, and we need to act that way.
Yeah.
Do you think, do you see the ETs in terms of their, let's say, agenda as protectors, as custodians, or are they watchers?
I think there are, I don't think we know, we don't know what we don't know about the ETs. I think they're all of the above. I think they're custodians, far more advanced than we are, technically, in terms of consciousness. They're watchers. There's apparently some prime directive for those of you who saw Star Wars that you can't come in, you know, like Cortez taking over Mexico and destroying the Aztecs, and like the European and American colonizers took over the global South in coercive,
Yeah. Oh, that
barbaric
was
way.
Star Trek. It was Star Trek, I
Star
think. Oh,
Trek.
yeah.
Yes, thank you. Star Trek. They're guardians. I think there are probably some of them that are traitors that just want to trade. I think there may be some of them that have some malevolence. But I think overwhelmingly, the messaging of the dozens of different kinds of extraterrestrials that have come and engaged in intelligible communication is they've warned us, particularly about our nuclear weapons and our nuclear power plants and the way we're treating the environment and we're treating each other. So we take the position that what we need to catalyze at a global level is an open-hearted embrace. And that's why one of our major priorities is getting people educated so that they can talk ET. Just think of millions of people, billions of people. We're all communicating with all these ETs. What an incredible impact that would have on human history and human society. This is going to change everything. This is the second Copernican revolution, folks. The first one was when Copernicus, you know, based on what they knew in deep antiquity, that the sun is not the center of the universe. Certainly the earth is. The earth actually revolves around the sun. The sun is a minor star in a minor galaxy among trillions of galaxies. And now we're having our second Copernican revolution. Even though the sun was not the center, we still thought we were. We're the apex species here, ladies and gentlemen. And now we're having the same Copernican experience. We're coming into reality that we're not the most advanced. We aren't the apex species. We're just a small little species who've been completely delusional for long enough to get us to the point we're about ready to destroy ourselves and the larger planetary ecosystem through thermonuclear war, climate change, and a variety of other crises that are impacting us, all because of our own action. And that these superior beings are showing up, not only with advanced technology, which, if we would utilize it, could completely eliminate any need for fossil fuels, completely eliminate the need for nuclear weapons or nuclear power, and give free energy to every individual on this planet in an abundant way that would last forever. That's what's possible. And as Stephen Greer did, if the movie everybody should see, a documentary, is The Lost Century. They've known this for 100 years and are keeping it from the public because the fossil fuel industry is aligned with the deep state to repress this information because they want to keep maintaining profits. These guys are willing to destroy the world before they give up fossil fuels in the military industrial complex. That's why they're trying to control the narrative. That's why they're trying to control the narrative. And we've got to stop it. We've got to stand out against it. And we have to, that's why we're working with the world religions. All the world religions, without exception, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, the indigenous tradition, they've known about ETs since primordial times. And they know that they're ultimately benign.
Yeah, I think one day
And
we
that's
might
what
get to
needs to be
discover what the
brought into the
Vatican has
public
on this.
conversation. Yeah. So anyway,
I
this
think
may
Danny
probably
Sheehan, I think Danny Sheehan has will have some access to some of that Vatican stuff. I think he's been to the Vatican archives, I
Oh yeah,
think. He's
Danny's there. You know, I've
so.
got connections, and anybody that's interested in this and getting involved at the level of grassroots organizing and activism and training and so forth, just go to newparadigminstitute.org and look around, or Ubiquity University. Look at the training program we've got, our ET studies program. It's all there. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. This might
thank
be
you. Yeah, you've been very, very good with your time, and I appreciate everything you've said. I think it's been fantastic to talk to you finally after a few attempts. And
thank you for your patience.
No, it's been well worth it, and hopefully we might get another opportunity another day. And I'm sure I'll see you. Or I think on Sundays you do is it every month you do a global talk to what's it called? I've forgotten the name. It's the kind of like,
well, it's the Citizens for Disclosure groups that meet once a month. If anyone's interested, just sign up at the npi.org website.
Well, I'll be trying to attend the next one. So
cool.
Cool. Thank you very much, Jim, and I'll hopefully have a lovely day, and maybe I'll speak to you another time.
Thanks. Anytime. Be well.